Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Jason Reed. He's the senior NFL writer for Anscape. It's part of the ESPN family of platforms, and he's out with a brand new book, Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. The book's available everywhere, and as we head into the college football season, the NFL season, it's just a fantastic read about the this rather tragic part of the NFL history, and a history that is still being written today. Jason, as I picked up this book to read it, I got to thinking about the whole issue of segregation in Major League Baseball compared to the NFL, and I thought, you know, the story for Major League Baseball is so well known and well told with Jackie Robinson, Branch Rickey going forward. The NFL one never really got that much treatment, and that story doesn't get much treatment. Why do you think the big disparity in the way that blacks have been treated in the NFL versus Major League Baseball and how we've been exposed to it as a culture?
Well, we have to look, I think, at the fact that Major League Baseball dwarfed the NFL in terms of popularity in the first half of the 20th century, even, I would say, more than just the first half. And so when you think about Jackie Robinson, him breaking the modern-day color barrier in baseball in 1947 was such a massive thing that you know was talked about throughout the country. And the NFL had black players at its beginning, and then for a 12-year stretch in 1934, no longer had black players, but it wasn't the same type of league in terms of popularity. So I really think that in terms of why we view these situations differently, it really comes down to how we view those two leagues, one being America's national pastime for such a long period of time in the previous century, the other being this upstart league that really didn't become enormously popular, I would say, until the early 70s, you know, after the merger between the AFL and the NFL.
I don't think there's a lot of people that are 50 years younger that don't remember a time when there wasn't a starting black quarterback in the NFL. But take me back to the nascent days of that, because the NFL is unlike other sports where the positions aren't all equal. And inside linebackers, quarterbacks, those are thinking man's positions. So what's the significance there?
Well, yeah, the up-the-middle positions, center, quarterback, middle linebacker, these positions were just exclusively the domain of white players, because the people who tell the marionette strings, the people who decide, you know, who gets drafted and who plays where, those people felt that black men simply lacked the intelligence, the heart, and the leadership ability to lead white men, and that they could not be counted on, could not be trusted to succeed at the most important position in professional sports. So if black men are just excluded from those positions, well, it says something about black men in society overall, that, okay, they're just not capable. And, you know, we know that was just a racist myth. So once you started having African-Americans, black men playing that position, and not just playing the position, but thriving at the position, it caused some people to have to reevaluate, reexamine their views on what black people were capable of doing.
The name Marlon Briscoe, I confess I'd never heard it until he died, and it was only because he had Omaha connections that it made the news here in the Midwest about his death back in June. I never realized he was such a trailblazer. Can you explain who he was and what his significance was in this story?
Yeah, thank you so much for the question, because Marlon Briscoe was the first black starting quarterback in the modern era of professional football. He was a star quarterback at the University of Omaha, University of Omaha, Nebraska, star quarterback there. But when he was coming out in the late 1960s, coming out to, you know, into the NFL draft, or into the AFL draft rather, black men were not being drafted to play quarterback. So the Denver Broncos selected Marlon in the 14th round of the old AFL draft, and their plan was to convert him to be a quarterback. Well, to their surprise, Marlon says he won't sign unless they give him a try at a quarterback. By all accounts, from researching the book, he played well at quarterback in the tryout, but it was rigged. They weren't going to give it to him. Well, as fate would have it, the starter for that year for the Broncos got injured. Other people weren't affected. So what happened was they threw him in there. They were having a horrible season. Well, to their surprise, to the Broncos' surprise, Marlon wound up having a great season, threw 14 touchdown passes, finished high up in the AFL Rookie of the Year voting. He figures he's going to be the quarterback moving forward because he's proved he can do it. And then they just took it away from him. They did. The Broncos said, you know, just determined that, okay, yeah, it's one thing when we're having a bad season, but we don't want a black quarterback. Marlon reinvented himself as a wide receiver. He had a great career with moving on with the Buffalo Bills and then with the Miami Dolphins. He won a couple of Super Bowls in Miami. And it was really, you know, the type of thing you say, okay, well, he still found his way in the NFL, but he never was allowed to play quarterback again, and that had a crushing effect on him.
I'm chatting with Jason Reed, senior NFL writer for Anscape, part of ESPN, about his new book, Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. The book's available everywhere. You know, I thought it was interesting with Marlon Briscoe that just a little bit before that, Gale Sayers was an Omaha native and it came out of Kansas and became a superstar for the Chicago Bears, even though he got injured fairly early on. But when you see two players with that type of talent come out of the same town, that had to be something that turned heads. But was it something where they just didn't get the notoriety? I mean, Gale Sayers, running back, still up the middle position, so why the dichotomy?
Well, it's an up the middle position, but running backs don't have to make line adjustments. They don't have to read defenses. It's not considered the same type of demanding position in terms of directing things. You know, basically, running backs get the ball, and yes, they have to see where the holes are, they have to see their blocks are, but it's a much more instinctive position. That's the belief than quarterback. Well, yeah, quarterbacks have to be instinctive. The best ones clearly are, but there's a lot that goes into reading a defense, helping with the line adjustments, recognizing, okay, the play is not working. You know, am I going to another read? Am I taking off? There's so much more that goes into it, into the quarterback position than playing running back. That, yeah, blacks were considered, okay, they're athletic, they can play running back, but no, quarterback, that's just too hard for them.
There's a huge majority of Kansas City Chiefs fans. In fact, our radio station is a Chiefs radio affiliate here, and so everybody knows Patrick Mahomes now as the face of the NFL and, you know, black quarterback. But I never realized until reading your book what impact he had on the Black Lives Matter movement within the NFL following the murder of George Floyd. Can you explain a little bit about what he did to further that cause through the NFL and through his power as a starting quarterback?
Yeah, Patrick, what he did was monumental. The league, after Colin Kaepernick's peaceful protest where he knelt, where he took a knee to bring attention to police brutality and systemic racism, the league was in a very difficult place. Many fans were upset, corporate partners were upset, and the league, the idea of the league embracing the Black Lives Matter movement and bringing more attention to what Kaepernick was talking about, it just wasn't something that anyone in the league office or anyone among the teams wanted to do. Well, after the killing of George Floyd, Patrick was among a group of players who made a video basically calling out the league and demanding that owners join them in this fight for social justice. And having Patrick in that video, Patrick at the time was clearly the number one player in the NFL. Like, you can debate now, you know, Aaron Rodgers has won the last two MVP awards. Patrick is either the number one quarterback in the league, a little bit behind Rodgers in some view, but he's a top three quarterback. That's the consensus. So, but at the time, he was unquestionably the guy. So to have Patrick Mahomes in a video where black players are calling out the league and calling out owners and saying, hey, you need to partner with us in this social justice fight, to have Patrick say Black Lives Matter in that video, well, the league was in a much different position now. You can't, if you're owners and if you're Commissioner Roger Goodell, you can't be on the opposite side of what Patrick Mahomes is pushing for when what he's pushing for is fairness. So he more than any other player, prompted the league to pivot and to change positions by saying things like Black Lives Matter. And so in terms of leadership, Patrick Mahomes, really, you can point to him for changing the NFL's approach to something very controversial.
Well, this story is still being written, but you've captured quite a bit of the history in this book. The book is Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America by Jason Reed. The book's available everywhere. And check out Jason on Anscape. That's, he's a senior NFL writer there. That's part of the ESPN family of platforms. Jason, I loved reading the history of this book. I learned so much about a subject that I thought I knew a lot about. But I guess that's the sign of any good book. And I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Okay, thank you for having me.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
But then a Monday morning quarterback never lost a game.